Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is Radio City Talk.
For the next 20 minutes or so, I'm going to be chatting to a man I know pretty well, putting a few thousand miles together over previous years. He's a man who's been involved in policing football matches for both Everton and Liverpool for quite a few decades, so he's well known in these parts. At the moment, he's Everton's safety manager, but he's also had responsibility for policing England games as well. It's Dave Lewis. Morning to you, Dave.
Morning, Steve.
Great to see you in again. It's been a while, but as I mentioned there, we spent a few years, didn't we, trekking around Europe. You were always the man responsible for making sure that those trips abroad, those Champions League trips abroad, went safely, putting a few thousand miles there.
Yeah, we did put a few thousand miles on the clock. Looking back, they were good times. I mean, I'm a blue, but I enjoyed the time I spent with Liverpool and helping them be successful.
Oh, I like the way you nailed down "I'm a blue" straight away. He got his cousin. He came in with his Chang jacket this morning. Excited about Ronald Koeman?
Absolutely. Yeah. You've got to be, haven't you? So it's a brand new era for Everton, and I'm just glad I'm hopefully going to play a big part in it.
Yeah, and you'll have all those fans. At least they'll be happy now. At least you won't be going on match day with your safety concerns about whether you've got unhappy fans at the ground.
It was quite a big difference, yeah, when we played the Bournemouth game and it was pretty testing. A lot of people want to make a protest point. And then the Norwich game at the end of the season was totally different, totally more relaxed atmosphere. So we look forward to that. A lot more excitement at Goodison next year.
How do you sort of deal with those... We'll get onto the England situation in a moment, but how do you deal with those sort of safety concerns? You mentioned the Bournemouth game, and you've got fans who want to do a protest at a football ground on match day. Is it? How much of a concern is that for you that it passes off correctly?
People have just got to be safe, and you can't stop people making a point, and that's something I brought from the police with me, and it's a legitimate right to protest, and provided it's not offensive or abusive, well, you know. You have to let people have their say, and that's what we tried to do.
Okay, let's turn to England and what's going on at the moment in France. We've seen the scenes in Marseille. We went to Marseille a couple of times, didn't we, with Liverpool? And I never saw any problems there. I know Marseille's got a bit of a reputation in many ways. But then we see these scenes just a few days ago. Now, some are saying that obviously organised French gangs are involved. There's this idea that mass Russian hooligans as well, en masse, are the ones that are stoking all this up. And then England fans as well involved in this. And you've seen arrests on all sides so far. What did you first make of it when you first saw these scenes? Because you were involved in 2006, South Africa World Cup, Germany World Cup. What were your fears straight away when you saw these headlines?
Once I saw the first footage from 1 or 2 days before, it just brought me straight back to Frankfurt in 2006. And what England fans have done on many occasions, they'll create a headquarters in one pub. It's usually an Irish pub. The bizarre thing is they'll then sing anti-Irish songs, which I can't fathom out myself. But they'll make that their headquarters. And then a lot of them, I think it's a case of we're England, we're here. So what are you going to do about it? I think some of them are quite happy when trouble comes their way.
So they're antagonistic, some of these fans?
Some of the songs they sing are antagonistic, yeah. And there'll be an element of, sadly, racism in there. There'll be an element of anti-German singing. And they don't care, a lot of them. So for anyone who was going over to the rest of the tournament and you saw a group like this, just... don't be around them, because they will invite trouble. Even if they don't go running out to try and create the trouble themselves, they're a magnet for trouble.
Because, of course, many of the headlines we're hearing are that England fans aren't responsible for this, and not behind it. I mentioned these Russian gangs here, and a lot of the English papers like to put the focus on that. How much responsibility do you feel lies with some of the England fans here for the scenes that we've witnessed?
They're not. They're certainly not... totally innocent.
Not whiter than white.
No, they're not, because of what I've seen in the past, and this is the typical, stereotypical performance from some of them, chair throwing, bottle throwing. It's sometimes that's a reaction to, if you say, police activity, and you've got to look at the French policing and say that do they antagonise at times rather than try and diffuse situations. But if you look at the England fans who've been over there, they look exactly like the ones I witnessed in Frankfurt and Stuttgart, and so that the profile's not changed of those individuals. However, I must say, I certainly don't paint all England fans as hooligans. They're not. This is a tiny minority. England run a very, very good club membership scheme, and anyone caught doing anything will have their club membership taken off them. They then can't get tickets from England. So thousands of people are members of that scheme. You may find a lot of these people outside bars aren't members of the England club, but want to associate themselves with any trouble that comes their way. And you're talking a couple of hundred out of you know, tens of thousands.
So these are a couple of hundred that have gone out there intent on causing trouble or not, or simply get carried away with the situation?
Well, it's...
Well, take us back to Frankfurt and Stuttgart. What was it like then?
It's an interesting one, really, because I don't think they go out thinking, right, we are going to look for trouble. And that's what the difference with the Russian supporters who've been identified. Mm. Clearly, with what they've taken with them, they have gone looking for trouble. England fans haven't...
They've taken gum guards, haven't they?
Absolutely.
I mean, they're out for a fight.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely, they'll have knuckle dusters and all pieces of kit. So they've gone looking for trouble. The England fans who, and I'll just put it outside the pub in Marseille, that they've not gone looking for trouble. But if any trouble comes their way, they certainly won't be shy in fighting back. And that I think is quite a significant difference. Whereas I'm sure the police commanders out there, I think they'll be a bit frustrated, really, because they'll identify people that need to be given a greater level of control and sometimes protection. And trying to facilitate that, I imagine, has been quite difficult for them. Because this, if you take out that small group, you know, your problem with England will go away as an offensive sort of looking for trouble group. However, you've got to protect some of the England fans as well, because there are groups who will go and find pubs and bars and specifically attack them. So any group of England fans is who are making themselves known in any great numbers can lend themselves to be attacked by sort of local hooligans and obviously this Russian group as well.
Obviously, there's been quite a build-up, a run-up to that game, the England-Russia game. How much of a conversation would the English policing authorities and the FA, and I know you always used to do the pre-match sort of briefing with the opposition team the day before sort of thing. That was just on a level with a Liverpool or an Everton. But with this, obviously knowing it was going to be England-Russia, would the English police have been in communication with Russian authorities as far back as a couple of weeks ago just to assess whether there was any trouble on the horizon?
I would very much doubt that they've been in conversations with the Russian authorities. Russia doesn't have a football intelligence network.
Right.
A lot of the Eastern Bloc countries don't. Romania is the only one I've seen that have made any effort to try and do what the rest of Western Europe does. What the police will have done, along with the FA security, over at least the last couple of years, they'll have been in very close dialogue with UEFA about the operation that's going to be put in place. The only difference I've seen with this one, you may see police officers in light blue tabards on the television. They're what they're called police spotters, and they'll be gaining evidence of people who've committed offences. And you've seen a couple of them jailed in France, and one's been excluded in Birmingham as well. What I haven't seen in this one is the British bobby. And we had them in Germany. A very good sort of PR thing. They were able to get into groups of supporters and have a word, if you like, and just sort of lay the land for them. That we took them to South Africa as well. And I saw that as generally successful. I don't know why I've not seen them here. My suspicion would be that the French authorities didn't want them, which is disappointing because they can be a really good point of contact with England fans.
How prominent is football hooliganism these days? Because this brings back memories of the 80s, what we're seeing in France.
What pleased to say across the Premiership, for a number of seasons now, when we're having our pre-match meetings, the police will come and say, well, if they expect any difficulty from some of the travelling fans. And match after match, in fact, I can't remember the last one, there hasn't been any reports of, oh yeah, we've got a group coming up here who are going to cause some problems. I do some some work for the FA as well, and I'll go and see lower league games play, which is good to see if you can spot anything from other operations. And some of the things you find with them is that there's always a mention of a youth group of about, you know, 20 to 30, who are usually under 25. They'll travel in a minibus, and they'll look for a bit of trouble if it, you know, if they can find it. But it's certainly nothing like it was in the 1980s, when you've got gangs of, you know, three figures sort of marching up and down Walton Lane trying to confront anyone who'll have a go at them. Those days pleasingly appear to have gone. You might get the odd flare up where just a group of supporters just come out the stadium and just decide to taunt the home fans. But in general, I would say football hooliganism, as we knew it, gang on gang, is a rare thing these days.
Do other countries suffer from it in a way that you were talking about them back in the 80s? I remember going to football matches, and that was one of your concerns as a young lad, thinking, oh gosh, I don't want to run into anyone rough. You know, you used to hear a lot about the football violence that was going on around grounds. Do other countries now have the problems that we were experiencing years ago? And I suppose I am probably pointing a finger towards Russia, France, I don't know. Do you hear of that?
Only when we went through our Europe two seasons ago. Gladly, we didn't have anything that was presented to us that was going to be a problem. Clearly, because of what happens in Ukraine, there were some political difficulties. And you could just get a sense of, you know, supporters might not be, you know, 100% safe if they're seen in colours around the city. And you think, well, that's maybe not organised football hooliganism in a gang concept, but it certainly is, as individuals will go and try and attack people just because of where they're from. But I think if you look at, it can spark up in Italy, it can spark up anywhere across Europe. You know, they have got hooligan gangs.
Actually, I've been to Italy in recent seasons, and there is still something prevalent there. That there's quite a certain atmosphere outside grounds. A lot of the stadiums are sort of daubed in aggressive graffiti, you know, against other sort of stuff you'd never see in England. For example, I went to Napoli, and it had some pretty harsh messages about other top teams just daubed by fans outside the ground.
Well, you'll have done the Napoli game when they came to Anfield, and that was one of the worst experiences I think we'd had when I was in Merseyside Police. And some of it was outrageous behaviour from them. Organised gang coming in a coach, all tooled up, ready to go. So the good thing was there, we had the intelligence to deal with it. And places like that, they don't have a working relationship with the Carabinieri in Italy. It just doesn't happen. So it really is us and them. So if you think back to when Liverpool played in Rome the first time against Roma.
Oh, it was horrendous.
We didn't know there'd been a riot going on outside the other side of the stadium. And a lot of the times the police aren't there to sort of do things against the supporters that they're with. It's a lot of the time now it's moved to trying to protect the supporters who are going over there to make sure that they're safe, giving them the advice of where to stay away from. So I don't think in Europe you'll tend to get that, apart from Germany, who they do work very closely with the supporters.
Will tighter controls on drinking have a big impact? We're seeing now that supporters will face arrest if they're caught drinking. So if they're seen drinking on the streets of Lens and Lille, there's a ban on alcohol there, so you face arrest for that. Should that make a dramatic difference?
If it was logistically possible, yeah. But how many thousands of people are you going to have there who potentially could be holding a can of beer? You're in the thousands. Logistically, they can't arrest thousands of people.
No, because we're talking 70,000, 80,000 fans, aren't we, just for England-Wales alone? Yeah.
So I think if you put it into some kind of reality about that, where are the places that could be the main focal point for problems? It's usually the big squares there, and people get in large groups and become a little bit more lively. If they clamp down on the big squares and make sure there's no public drinking there, the odd group of sort of family, friends going for 20 of you going for a pint in one of the local bars isn't going to make a great deal of difference. So I think it's the mass gatherings that they'll really focus on, rather than a bar that might be half a mile away somewhere where someone have a quiet drink and just enjoy where they are.
And inside the football stadiums, were you surprised when you saw England-Russia and actually the lack of segregation between the two sets of fans? I never expected at the end of that game to see the problems break out as they did. But actually, in hindsight, looking at it, there's a real lack of segregation between the Russian fans and the England fans. It almost seemed easy for one set to get to another set. Is that naivety on the part of sort of UEFA or the policing officials out there?
I don't think it's not naive, but when you look at it in the context of home and away, we're used to home and away segregation. And so if you look at our grounds, you'd have about 3,000 who can be in their own safe area, if you like, that's got cordons down the side, they've got gates on the concourses. So trying to get across the netting and the stewards and the police that are in place is quite difficult. But for these championships, you haven't got home and away. They're both away. And so how do you can't separate the stadium with gates and fences because it doesn't exist. So it does make segregation of home and away fans a lot more difficult.
A line of police, though? It just seemed like stewards who were just doing a day job who were the ones caught up in it.
Once you've had... that's been spotted. There should have been a segregation line in place. A lot of these places, the police don't come into the stadium. That's quite common across Europe, usually for costing reasons, but it is left to the steward in operation. Are they stewards? Or are they security? You will find in Europe a lot of them are security rather than stewards. I'll be honest, I don't think the quality of stewarding is anywhere near as good as the UK in Europe. And that's what you saw the other night. They're simply overwhelmed.
Well, what's going to be the consequence for Russia in all this? Of course, they're hosting the World Cup in 2018. They've already been threatened with being kicked out of this tournament if there's any more repeats. And already we've seen Russian hooligans attacking England fans in Lille last night. So that there's another instance already of things happening. Is there going to be a further knock-on effect, do you think, for Russia and the World Cup?
I doubt it. Very much. I think too far down the line now of it's only two years away and logistics of trying to put something in place. I'm quite sure the FA would say, well, we can do it. We can put on a major championship. I find it astounding that England, the UK, has not had a major championship since 1996. So I think it'll still go ahead. When you look at the chance of there being problems over there, yes, there would be. As an England fan, you're going to think, that's somewhere I really want to go to. No, it isn't. So I don't think... When you look at the pattern of World Cups, and you'll see how far away they're played, Japan, Korea, obviously, if it goes ahead in Qatar, the further away it is, the less chance there is of having trouble, as we saw in South Africa. But the minute it comes within a range of three-hour flights, then you start to get mass numbers going. I think Russia's just on the limit of that, but I don't think places like Moscow are appealing for, and the Russian police will certainly not tolerate gangs standing around drinking and chanting.
Although at the moment all the headlines are about Russians, mass thugs wearing T-shirts with the slogan "Oral Butchers Storm Over Europe" were the ones who ran past riot police last night. And there's another line here in the papers today saying French police stopped a bus carrying Russian fans near Cannes as they travelled towards Lille. One man on board, Alexander Sharbogin, head of the Russian Supporters Association, was once photographed making a Nazi salute and is known for racist remarks, and he was among those detained. More and more, you're getting more and more information all the time about these Russian gangs, things that we never knew were out there.
Yeah, they have. They've certainly sprung up from... it wouldn't be something you would have expected. If you looked at the likes of, I'm not saying the Polish fans are violent, but when you look at their behaviour when Poland came and played Scotland in Hampden Park within the last 2 years, and so the amount of flares and sort of damage that was caused was quite phenomenal, really. But they tend not to go, they'll stand up for themselves, certainly, but... the Russian fans have never been in, sort of travelled in big numbers. It wouldn't be a game that would really worry you, really, because it would just be people who could afford to come. But this now is extremely organised. You know, they have got themselves together. They've obviously organised the travel. They've organised the T-shirts. They've taken the weapons with them. So this is the sad thing is, in policing terms, that nobody knew about it. It just came out of the blue. So, and that's the lack of intelligence.
That still astounds you when you read about it. Dave, thanks for coming in. Quick thought on Everton. How's things been over the past couple of years in terms of, you know, you're in charge of safety operations there? It seems, you know, the match day experience at Goodison seems fantastic.
Well, as a club, we're trying to take it to a new level with we've got a new children-friendly hub in the free school on match days. That's proving very popular, certainly for people with under-10s. The fan zone is always busy now with entertainment on the stage. Stadium's getting another bit of a revamp in the exterior during the summer. Obviously, we'd like to think the new stadium's on the horizon, and if that happens, I think it is a brand new era, and I think all Evertonians are looking forward to it.
The special Ronnie. The special Ron. Dave Lewis, thank you very much indeed.
This is Radio City Talk.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.